Lebanon's senior Hamas official describes Israel as a threat to humanity, saying the regime has failed to be recognized as a legitimate entity by free nations. A new report says most Americans are frustrated with high skyrocketing prices in the housing sector, and that's made many people unable to buy a house. Ukraine's defense minister warns of Russia's looming offensive in the east, saying that his country faces, quote, extremely difficult weeks ahead.
Hello and welcome. Your world news coming to you live from our headquarters in Tehran. My name is Gisum Shahmadi.
A senior representative of the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas in Lebanon says the Palestinian cause is a humanitarian one concerning all free nations. Osama Hamadan also described the Israeli regime as a threat to humanity.
First of all, let's say that the issue of Palestine, the Palestinian cause, Palestinian question, Al-Quds, is a humanitarian cause and not only a Palestinian Arab Muslim cause. But the most significant message is that this enemy, this occupation force, is not only against the Palestinians alone, but is also against the entire, all of humanity.
Hamadan further highlighted the importance of Quds Day, introduced by the founder of Iran's Islamic Republic, the fight against the Israeli occupation on Palestine. He says the regime has failed to be recognized as a legitimate entity by free nations, despite its decades of relentless efforts. He called Israel a regime that is seeking hegemony across the region. Hamadan also underlined that the recent Israeli attacks on Al-Aqsa Mosque were aimed at weakening the Palestinian resistance against the regime.
This enemy does not believe, only believes in the language of force and excessive force and violence. And they believe that they need to be, in order to take control of the certain hegemony and certain land, they need to break the will and the determination of the people. They've tried and attempted different ways and different methods.
Hamadan also noted portraying itself as an invincible entity as part of the regime's tactic to make resistance forces believe that it cannot be defeated. But he says such tactics are futile, as the Israeli regime is afraid of resistance groups both in Palestine and Lebanon. Hamadan also referred to pro-Israeli propaganda by mainstream Western media. He said the world knows well about the plight of the Palestinians, no matter if media turn a blind eye to the facts. Meanwhile, Hamas representative in Lebanon painted a grim picture of the people in the Gaza Strip. He said 60% of Gazans are below the poverty line, and the situation is exacerbated by the continued Israeli siege. Iran's capital, Tehran, has hosted a summit of solidarity with Palestinians, the event to discuss the ongoing Israeli raids on Al-Aqsa Mosque, which have drawn a worldwide condemnation. Yusuf Shalali.
Palestine belongs to Palestinians. This is what activists here at Tehran's Imam Sadegh University say in a summit dubbed Palestine's referendum. While many initiatives have been proposed to resolve the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, such as the two-state solution or the so-called deal of the century, the Islamic Republic calls for a referendum that allows Palestinians to decide their fate.
3 decades ago, our leader Ayatollah Khamenei proposed the idea of a referendum with the participation of Palestinian Jews, Christians, and Muslims, and without the interference of Israel, and the resulting political system would determine how Palestine is ruled.
Initiatives that wouldn't lead to the liberation of Palestine are not a solution, but a dead end. 7 decades of occupation have showed that no soft measure has worked, and resistance and referendum are the only ways out of the current situation in Palestine.
Since the start of the holy month of Ramadan, tensions between Palestinians and Israelis have been running high, as Israeli forces have stepped up raids on the Al-Aqsa Mosque, assaulting Muslim worshippers inside prayer halls and providing protection to the Israeli settlers, desecrating Islam's third holiest site. Observers warn that the escalating tensions in the occupied old city of Al-Quds could lead to another full-scale conflict between Palestinian resistance forces and Israel.
It is highly likely that this current crisis would lead to a war, as Hamas has warned of consequences if Israel presses ahead with its violence. In May last year, similar actions by Israel led to the 11-day war between Palestinian resistance groups in the besieged Gaza Strip and the Israeli regime, during which Israel killed at least 260 Palestinians, but at the same time it suffered great losses from the resistance.
This event is held ahead of the International Quds Day, a global pro-Palestine rally that takes place every year on the last Friday of the month of Ramadan. The occasion seeks to bring the Palestinian cause to light, with the hope to mobilize a global action against Israel's continuous violation of Palestinians' rights.
While the UN has expressed deep concern over the escalating violence against Palestinians, activists here say this is not enough. They called on the international body to stop paying lip service and instead take action to keep Israel from any further breach of security in occupied Palestine. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
With the International Quds Day being around the corner, resistance groups have held a conference in the Lebanese capital to voice their solidarity with Palestinians. They call on Muslims to maintain their unity and supporting Al-Quds in the face of the Israeli aggression. Maram Saleh reports from Beirut.
Just ahead of International Quds Day, support for Palestinians is gaining momentum across Lebanon. The seminar was held in the Lebanese capital, where the speakers touched upon the significance of the Quds Day.
The significance of this holy day is that Imam Khomeini called on the free people of the world and the Muslims of the world and the Christians of the world to look at this historic, religious, and national enemy which wants to steal your sanctities and Judaize your city and bury your heritage. Be cautious on this threat and be united to face this aggressive enemy.
With the violent Israeli crackdown against the people of the holy city in Palestine, activists say the sacrifices of the Palestinians will be fruitful, and that Al-Quds Day is an occasion for Muslims to stand united in supporting the Palestinian cause.
Imam Khomeini considered that our Arab and Islamic identity is incomplete without liberating Al-Quds. Therefore, this is a shame for those who continue to normalize ties with this enemy that continues to launch the most heinous assaults with their artillery and bullets. Thousands of wounded people have lost their eyesight, and many of them lost one eye or two. Hundreds of wounded people fell in the past assault. We will eventually pray in Al-Quds, no matter how long it takes.
Hezbollah Deputy Secretary General also stressed that Al-Quds is not merely a piece of land. It is rather an international humane cause, and Imam Khomeini established a cultural, ethical, and religious system to liberate it.
Imam Khomeini did not only make a declaration, he put a roadmap for the liberation of Palestine. He did not only call on the people to hold commemorations and events and make speeches to celebrate a day for Al-Quds, he directly closed the Israeli embassy and opened the Palestinian embassy. He founded Al-Quds Brigade as part of the Iranian Revolutionary Guards Corps, which would begin to form the army of 20 million. This would extend to the rest of the region and would support resistance inside Palestine. The only objective is to liberate Palestine.
All the speakers at the conference agreed that those who believe in the Palestinian cause are convinced more than ever that Al-Quds in Palestine will be liberated. International Quds Day has developed from being a day of solidarity and vocal support to being a day of practical coordination between the resistance factions. The Resistance Alliance has for once ratified a unified strategy of defense, and the focal point is Al-Quds. Maryam Saleh, Beirut.
The Israeli regime has been conducting atrocities against Palestinians on a daily basis, and it has particularly escalated its aggression against Palestinian worshippers at Al-Aqsa Mosque compound in the run-up to the International Quds Day. We interviewed a number of officials and activists in different countries to get their thoughts on the recent flare-up in the occupied territories. Let's take a listen.
Thank you. who, under the pretext of maintaining security, Israeli occupation forces, they attack Palestinian worshippers in the occupied city of Al-Quds, provoking them while on their way to Al-Aqsa Mosque. It's not something new. This kind of sort of uprising, popular uprising, it's meant to send a signal message that Palestinians are steadfast in the face of oppression. Israeli occupation forces, they will fail to force Palestinians to raise the white flag. Palestinians have been fighting for this self-determination and struggle for the past 75 years. They will continue to do so. They sending a message also that they are fighting the oppression on behalf of the Muslim world. Unfortunately, Palestine is not Ukraine, and we've seen the reaction of Israeli occupation forces attacking not only Muslim Palestinians, also Christian Palestinians, worshippers, whether they are from Palestine or foreigners, also the commander attack. So their action is the norm. Unfortunately, Israel can get away with its justification. Even the Israeli prime minister, he did not admit that it is Israeli illegal settlers who provoke and initiate these violations. We've seen images of Palestinian worshippers being handcuffed inside Al-Aqsa Mosque, which is Islam's third holiest site, the first Qibla for Muslims. We've seen shy and weak reactions from the Middle Eastern governments, from the Muslim world. Palestinians, obviously, they do not pin hope on Arab governments anymore.
It's not really a conflict. Israel took Palestinian lands, so we talk about conflict when it's not. It's just genocide. They are erasing an entire population for decennies, so decades. So yeah, so it's not comparable. Not just regular people, children, old people, mothers, fathers, everyone, not just worshippers. It goes beyond just a religious conflict. Not conflict, but divergence.
Well, if you ask me, it's a very barbaric act, as Israeli forces has been doing since long. And actually curbing the rights of worshipping, I think it's very inhuman. It's very inhuman, and I condemn it. And like watching the videos, watching the news, it's really painful, because in every religion, it's the basic fundamental right to be provided to another religion. So I think it's very barbaric, very inhuman, and very bad, very disturbing.
Most home buyers in the United States are frustrated with soaring prices in the housing sector, which make it almost impossible for many Americans to own property. Official data shows that home rose by nearly 19% in 2021. Figures also indicate that the median existing home price for all housing types in March 2022 was $375,000, up 15% from the same month last year. The problem has been compounded by a surge in borrowing rates. The interest charged on a 30-year fixed-rate loan has risen to over 5%, the highest level since 2010. Compared to an average of almost 3% last year, housing supplies were already tight when the sales took off during the coronavirus pandemic, but builders have failed to keep up amid a shortage of workers and global supply chain problems, which have pushed housing prices higher even more. The West is mounting diplomatic pressure on Russia over the war in Ukraine. Now the UN tourism body is suspending Russia's membership, arguing that it has breached its statute. Most members of the UN World Tourism Organization backed the move as an extraordinary session of its General Assembly. The motion was proposed by over 20 member states in March. The new development came after the UN General Assembly voted to suspend Russia from the Human Rights Council. Meanwhile, Canadian lawmakers have voted to call Russia's operation in Ukraine, quote, a genocide, saying there was ample evidence to uphold the designation. U.S. President Joe Biden had already called Russia and the military operation a genocide. Canada, among countries, have imposed sanctions on Russia over the war in Ukraine. Ukraine's defense minister warns that Russia's developing offensive in the east will lead to, quote, destruction and painful casualties. He says that Russia has already gathered its forces for a large-scale offensive in eastern Ukraine. The minister says his country faces, quote, extremely difficult weeks as Russia's new offensive looms. Moscow has shifted its focus to the east and the south of Ukraine as the war between the two neighbors enters its third month. Russia has captured several villages in eastern Ukraine and seeks to take full control of the Donbass region. Tensions between Moscow and the West over Ukraine show no sign of abating. The Russian president has now vowed to give a swift response to countries attempting to interfere in Ukraine. Vladimir Putin said Russia had already taken decisions on how to react in such situations. He accused the West of pushing Ukraine into a conflict with Russia. Putin underlined that Western countries wanted to cut Russia into pieces. The Russian president made the comments while addressing lawmakers in St. Petersburg.
And now with that, we come to the end of this edition of World News. Stay tuned.
This is IRIB English Radio. With you early in the morning. With you at midday. With you till the night's end. IRIB English Radio.
Ramadan, the month of opportunities. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, salam and welcome to the program. We are nearing the end of the blessed month of Ramadan. Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, said, good deeds are rewarded manifold in the month of Ramadan. God says in Ayah 61 of Surah Mu'minun, that the faithful are those who are zealous in performing good works and take the lead in them. In the first ayahs of Surah Al-Waqi'ah, after describing the great event of the Day of Resurrection, God says that the servants will be three groups. The first group is the people of the right hand, whose file of deeds will be given to their right hand. The second group is the people of the left hand, who will receive their file of deeds with their left hand. And the third group is the foremost ones, who are very near to God. Imam Sadiq, peace upon him, says that when a faithful decides to do a righteous deed, two devils rush to prevent him. So, he should be quick so that the devils do not overcome him to prevent him from doing the righteous deed. As it has been said several times, the devils are chained in Ramadan. Thus, The faithful should embark on righteous deeds. They should try to compete with each other in doing righteous deeds. The food diet in the blessed month of Ramadan should be arranged in a way that it does not increase our weight. In fact, Ramadan is an appropriate opportunity to reduce weight and bring it to normal state. As the hours of fasting are long, it is necessary to choose foods which are easy and soon to digest. Some of these foodstuffs include dates and tea, light puddings made of rice, milk and honey, soup and so on. In order to prevent reflux of stomach, it is better to have light and low-fat foods. Spicy foods, fizzy drinks, coffee, and similar drinks aggravate the condition. It is highly recommended to have light iftar to avoid overload of stomach. Moreover, eating slowly helps digestion. It takes 15 to 20 minutes for the brain to get the message that the person is full. Slow eating is helpful in this regard. In iftar, it is better to have fresh lemon juice in water rather than dark tea or coffee. Flaxseed juice is also refreshing and helpful. In order to prevent constipation, it is good to eat rinsed plums and figs. Fruits like peach and watermelon are also good, although many of them are not available in this season. Specialists of nutrition say that eating a few dates at iftar is good, especially for those who suffer from headache or vertigo. This is due to the fact that most headaches stem from low blood sugar. Interestingly, our religious leaders have recommended dates more than 1,000 years ago. It is not good to have cooked foods with raw fruits because the time of digestion differs for these items. Raw foods are digested faster, but due to mixing with the cooked ones, they cannot exit the stomach and cause dyspepsia. The blessed month of Ramadan is the time of servitude, worship, and self-purification. True servants of God make maximum use of the moments of this month to gain God-weariness. Ayatollah Khamenei is used to keep vigil in part of the nights of this month. He uses the pre-dawn hours to recite special prayers and supplications, and also the Noble Quran. This has been the practice of great ulema for centuries. They used to perform their daily ritual prayers as soon as the time for each prayer arrived. Ayatollah Khamenei, like his predecessors, particularly his great teacher, Imam Khomeini, spends part of his nights to seek forgiveness of God. He has described Ramadan as part of paradise in the burning hell of the material world. He says, God has given us the opportunity to admit ourselves in paradise in this month at the divine banquet. Some people enter paradise only for those 30 days. Some, with the blessing of those 30 days, enter the whole year. Some others for the entire life. Still, some others pass by it negligently, which is the cause of sorrow and loss. The leader of the Islamic Revolution says on the value of the moments of Ramadan, we need these hours. Let us make the maximum use of these blessed days and nights through strengthening our heart relation with the spiritual world, the unseen world, through humbleness, appealing and beseeching before the Lord of all Lords, and through reinforcing our bond of velayat with the Ahlul Bayt, this noble family. This is the basis of all good deeds which can be performed by a faithful and hardworking person in the way of truth. If we do not make use of these hours and this opportunity, one day it will cause regret for us. These opportunities are lost unbelievably in negligence. And on the day when our every hour, every minute, our every move, our every word is reckoned, and there is a calculation, this negligence will cause regret.
Food for thought.
Hello, everyone. Let us contemplate on a short but sweet saying from the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. The tongue is a wild beast. When it's let loose, it devours.
قضیه فلسطین از یادان نخواهد رفت و شهر مقدس بیت المقدس پایتخت فلسطین باقی خواهد ماند و قبله اول مسلمان ها برای مسلمان ها باقی خواهد ماند.
The issue of occupied Palestine will never be forgotten. The holy city of Beit al-Muqaddas will remain forever the capital of Palestine. And the first Qibla of Muslims will always be there for Muslims. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
With the presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. This is Viewpoints. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio for today's discussion, discussing the concept of Al-Quds Day, are two important guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Brother Yasser Ibrahim and Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the show.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah, thanks for inviting.
And Brother Yasser Ibrahim, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah, thank you for that.
So, Al-Quds Day, the last Friday of the month of Ramadan, which was named, by the late Imam Khomeini, after the Islamic Revolution of Iran took place in Iran, but this concept nowadays can be witnessed all around the world. I think strategically, this land is also important, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, but because it's a sacred land, as Brother Yasser Ibrahim said, the sacred place, the sacred land. But the case is that, you know, I think this movement is not an anti-Semitic one, because sometimes they criticize this movement of being anti-Semiticism or Semitic. This is not anti-Judaism. No, this is anti-oppression. Of course, we can call it anti-Zionism, because inside Judaism, we have so many critics about Zionism and the oppressions that they do all around the world too. But for sure, this is an anti-oppression strategy that was taken, that was done by Imam al-Khomeini at that time. And also the leader, Imam Khamenei, is also after it. You said day by day, Israel and the Israeli power is, we can say, getting weaker and weaker, Said Mohsen. But we could see that the oppression all across the world is being expanded. I mean, at that time was Palestine, maybe South Africa and other countries. The colored people were oppressed on that time, the minorities all around the world. But nowadays we could see that in the Middle Eastern countries or in some of the African countries, you know, African continent countries, some countries are really oppressed under the bombardment. Even in Shahr Ramadan, you know, we could see the killing, the mass killing, the bombardments last year. And it's going on. So how is this power is getting weakened, you know?
Well, obviously, we know that when a person is injured, for example, there's a fight between two people,
yes,
they're battling with sword or anything, the person who gets injured a bit or who knows that he's about to die, he puts all his efforts and all his struggle in order to have the last attack on the, you know, on the enemy or the other person. Same is the case with the Zionist regime, because Zionist regime know that in the Holy Land, the Palestine, in the Palestinian land, they cannot have any more existence. So, in order to deviate the minds of people,
that's right.
You know, obviously, when we look at the Muslim countries, when we look at the Yemen, we look at the Pakistan or other places where we have the terrorist attacks, like bombing in the mosques.
Yes.
In Afghanistan, we have seen, like, again in the month of Ramadan, you know,
yes,
last
Shia,
year,
yeah,
there was a, yeah, it was happening in the school, this year again in a school, and in the mosque,
right,
the both places. So what are these things? These are basically, they're trying to deviate the minds of people from, getting away from the topic of Israel and get involved into their own topics. So obviously we know that these are backed by some superpowers. Some other Western countries, for example, America is backing up all these things. So it is not only done by Israeli regime. But on the other hand, if you look at the newspaper, the headings that we have, the local news in the, Israeli land,
right,
they're talking about the, you know, end of the Zionist regime in Israel.
Okay.
They say we cannot live anymore. One of the analysts, he said that, that how can we claim that we will have the Israel as the land, whereas those who came to live in Israel, they have dual nationality. So there is a new discussion in the Zionist regime that those who are migrating from different parts of the world and they're coming into the occupied land of Palestine as the member of Zionist regime, they should not have dual nationality. They should have only one nationality, and that should be for the occupied land. So that in this way, they know that they're not going back. Whereas we know that these people have dual nationality. Whenever something happens,
that's right,
they just run away.
Yes.
They just leave the country.
Yes.
So, you know, even the enemies know this. So these all things tells us that, obviously, they are getting weaker and weaker. And especially, you know, when they came into the power, they had victory on the Egyptians,
yes,
at that time.
Yes.
But later we can see, like in 2006, the war between the Lebanon and the, you know, the Zionist regime, how Hezbollah won the battle.
Yes.
And this is a story. This is obviously something, a lesson for us, that we should know that according to the you know, the famous saying of Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah, that it is weaker than the house of the, you know,
a spider. Yes.
So even we have seen, like, a couple of years ago, the Supreme Leader also said, like, you will not see Israel in next 25 years.
Okay.
So all these things, it shows us, obviously, we believe in all this, and this is the promise of Allah.
That's all right. And why is it now more important than ever, I mean, than past? I mean, resistance against Israel and protecting the people of Palestine. Because I think that during all these years, so many people at first maybe did not believe in such a resistance power and movement. But nowadays we could see that on last Friday around the world, these rallies and demonstrations are held, even in the Western countries, okay? Even in the countries that back Israel. So why do you think, Brother Yasser Ibrahim, it is more important than ever, I mean, now at this time? I mean, in the geopolitical scene of the world nowadays.
I think the Israeli or the Palestinian issue has become a humanitarian issue. It's not just a religious issue. Myself, I was not born at that time. Said was probably not born at that time when Imam gave that edict in 1979. But before then, what I heard, what I've spoken to, is like Palestine was a forgotten issue. Before then, like after the Six-Day War, which was a massive loss for the Muslims. I mean, it was actually 5 days, but still. That war that lasted for, 5 days, when the three Arab states were defeated by the small entity within the Mutz. That time, it was a forgotten issue. So the reviving of it was important, first of all.
That's right.
Imam Khomeini revived it. When people had just forgotten what was happening, it was happening. And then right now, it grew. Every year it grew. Why it may be more important now is because what Sayyid mentioned is that it is a wounded animal. It is just flaying and flashing whenever it can right at this moment in time. It now does not have the upper hand as it did previously. It may not have the upper hand. It may not have as many supporters as it did previously. Unfortunately, we see certain Arab states now trying to become friendly with it again because of that particular issue. Now, why are you becoming friends again with a country that for its entire existence you resisted it? But now we see certain countries, and maybe you will ask about them later on, they have signed treaties or pacts or coalitions. Why?
Yeah, they established ties with Israel. Exactly. Is now the friendly ties, that's right, the Muslim
exactly.
Lands.
So three or four of these Arab countries, we won't call them Muslim countries, we call them Arab countries. Yes. There's a difference.
Okay.
Right, these Arabs, all these Arab countries that are Muslims. And the people may not have been happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
The people within those countries may not have been happy with it, but that's another discussion. But why it is important now is maybe forget, because like you have an upper hand now. You are showing that, you know, there are people throughout the world who, you know, it is more than just a religious issue now.
Yes.
It has gone beyond that. It's a human issue where people throughout the world, I think they know now this is wrong. You know, you cannot just go and steal someone's land because you feel it is yours. You cannot just occupy someone else's home. There was this video on Instagram or somewhere, they played it, where the Zionist goes and he tells the family, if I don't take you home, someone else will.
Oh.
It was quite... that causes more, you know, people now, because of social media and stuff, see more things.
Yes.
More things are being seen. And before, things were not as seen as much as now. So people are seeing things, people are looking at things, people are seeing a different aspect of things, news are coming out. And I remember Sayyid Khamenei, Hafizahullah, said something very, very, very nice, if you want to say. He says, at the beginning, the Palestinians were throwing stones at tanks, and now they're shooting rockets at it.
Yes.
You know, it shows that, okay, what there was and what there is, that you don't have the upper hand as you think you do anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the importance is this, is that to show that, look, you had the upper hand once upon a time. That time is gone. That time is finished. It is now time for the decline.
But the thing that you talked about the Arab lands and the Arab countries, you know, this resistance against Israel in protection of the Palestinians has a general message, and that is the defense of the rights of the Mustazafin all around the world, whether it be Muslim or non-Muslim. But now we could see that these Arab countries are very much living like the Western ones. I mean, the lifestyle everything. I mean, their strategies, the politicians, the geopolitical decisions that they're taking, you know, is very much like the Western ones, like the capitalist, imperialist ones. And day by day, this message, we can say, is fading away. I mean, Islamic Republic of Iran and all the truth seekers, justice seekers across the world are doing their best in order to defend the rights of the Palestinians against the Zionists. But with the establishment of the ties between some of the Arab countries and the Israelis that we could see nowadays recently, I think that the enemy is getting bigger and bigger, Said Mohsen, isn't it?
Well, obviously, one of the unfortunate things that is happening in this world is that the enemies are becoming united.
Yes.
Whereas Muslims are they're having disunity.
Okay.
And that is also because of the propaganda that the enemies have. You know, that UK is the best country to, bring disunity amongst the people. And they had the slogan of divide and rule. So they're dividing the Muslims. They're buying the Muslims. And this happens, why? Because when we are not having leaders who are God-fearing, who are muttaqi, because in Islam, the criteria of becoming a leader of a country, of a state, is to have taqwa.
Yes.
If someone is not having a fear of God, then obviously he will have the fear of others.
Yes.
Then he will have he will go after the lust of this material life. So what we can see, like in the Muslim countries, there is a conflict of ideologies.
That's right.
The governments are secular. The maybe like Arab countries or non-Arab countries, yes. Like, you know, you can see like the Pakistan, it's a Muslim country. Like the governments are mostly secular, but the people are so religious.
Okay.
You know, governments don't announce protests against the Zionist regime, where locally people, they come out on the streets when it's the last Friday.
That's right.
You know, whether it's a Sunni or Shia, no matter. Yes. So similarly, in other countries, this is happening.
Yes.
In the Arab countries, even, there's a conflict of, worldview or the mentality that is there. On the other hand, you ask a question, like before from brother, that why in today's world we are celebrating the Day of Quds and why we are having the protests. Now, this is very important to know that, you know, there are two types of supports for a person.
Mm-hmm.
One is internal, one is external.
Okay.
For the Palestinian people, where the Palestine is a slogan of the oppressed ones, and the resistance of Palestinians is the resistance against every arrogant and every oppressor, wherever it is, whether it's American or non-American, because in the speech of Imam Khomeini, he says that the nation that were under the pressure of America and the non-America. So he mentions both, like all the powers that are there. So this has become a slogan, the Day of Quds, as a slogan standing against the oppressors. So internally, the Palestinians are having resistance.
That's right.
But obviously, they also need an external support. They need a support from the Muslim world, from the other countries. You know, as brother has mentioned, it's the matter of rights, the human rights. So when their rights are not being observed by the Zionist regime and the world is silent on it, then on the other parts of the world, we must raise our voice. The way we raise our voices for the blacks in America.
Yes.
You know, when they killed the
George Floyd.
Yes. George Floyd.
Yes.
There were other oppressions. There were oppression in the Myanmar. We see oppression in the Palestine. We see oppression in Afghanistan.
Yes.
You know, wherever we see, we raise our voices. Why? Because these people need the support. And this also shows to the oppressors that they cannot do whatever they want.
That's right.
Easily.
Okay.
There are resistances. There will be a resistance if in that particular part they do not face such
That's
resistance.
Right.
But on the other parts,
okay.
You know, the people will talk about them. The people do not like them.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a resistance outside the specific area as well.
And the concept of resistance is for sure one of the most significant, concepts and promoters in the religion mm-hmm. of Islam that must be encouraged. Unfortunately, it is forgotten. Day by day, very much we are limited as Muslims to only the rituals, obligatory ones especially, and the huquq of the mustazafin is forgotten. Inshallah, Palestine will be free one day, and all the oppressed ones all across the world. You know, nowadays we could see it in Yemen, you know, in Bahrain, Afghanistan, Pakistan, you know, in Syria, in Iraq. Inshallah, one day all the oppressed people free, and Palestine will be free soon, inshallah. Thank you very much, Sayyid Mohsen.
You're welcome.
And Brother Yasser Ibrahim for your presence in the program Viewpoints. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to the program Viewpoints on IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/EN/Call of Islam page. Also, a YouTube channel, Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Every day we tell each other that this day will be the last, and tomorrow we all can go home free, and all this will finally end. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. News, social news, scientific news, artistic news, with delight.
Japanese researchers have developed chopsticks that artificially create the taste of salt. They have done this as part of efforts to reduce high levels of sodium intake in Japan. The utensils look like a typical pair of chopsticks, but with a cable and a mini computer worn on the person's wrist. A mild electrical current transmits sodium ions from food through the chopsticks and into the user's mouth. This enhances the taste of salt, requiring less of it in food to achieve the same good taste.
To prevent severe lifestyle-related diseases, or to prevent these diseases altogether, we need to reduce the amount of salt we take regularly. Japanese people tend to ingest a large amount of salt in their diet. If we try to avoid taking less salt in a conventional way, we would need to endure cutting out our favorite foods from our diet, or endure eating bland food.
The chopsticks have already been clinically tested. Participants say the device enhanced salty taste of low-sodium food by roughly 1.5 times. The engineers are currently refining the chopsticks and hope to commercialize the product next year. The product was jointly developed by Meiji University professor Homei Miyashita and a beverage holding company. Miyashita is best known for his creation of a TV screen that can imitate various flavors.
A museum in France is hosting treasures of Peru, including the famed Machu Picchu, in a unique experience where technology meets archaeology. Visitors can immerse themselves in a vertical tour of Machu Picchu Citadel and see an exclusive exhibit of Peruvian archaeological objects. The collection is arranged chronologically, passing through the extraordinary diversity of some 13 cultures. The collection displays 200 artifacts spanning three millennia, dating as far back as 1500 BC. A large part of the exhibit is dedicated to Peru's Machica civilization, with their vase, portraits and red ceramics. The museum's curator says the goal was to show that pre-Columbus Peru was far deeper than just the Inca era. Iran's National Museum is displaying a collection of artifacts that was stolen decades ago, but has finally returned home after a long legal battle. The items, which include sacred figurines, pots and jars, date back to more than 3,000 years ago. They were stolen and sent to the West more than four decades ago. In 1991, the British Museum was seeking to buy the collection from a smuggler residing in Switzerland. The objects, however, were seized by Swiss police and revealed in court in 2008. Since then, Iran had been trying to get the stolen treasures back home.
Under pressure from the Iranian diplomatic apparatus and the official complaints of the National Museum in 2015, the legal process continued, and finally on December 20, 2020, the collection returned to us.
The collection belongs to the northwestern city of Bukhan, which was the home of Manians around the 10th to 7th centuries BC. The Manians were one of the first nomadic tribes to build cities in that area. The director of Iran's National Museum says the effort to recover other stolen artifacts continues. The country is now holding talks with the US and Australia to return ancient objects smuggled over there.
How long could you work at your job? In Brazil, a 100-year-old man has broken the world record for the longest spell working at a single company. Walter Orthman has entered the Guinness World Record books for working at the same fabric company for an astonishing period of 84 years. He started on the factory floor before moving into administration and later on into the sales management. Despite his extraordinary accomplishment, Orthman's advice for those looking for a long and fulfilling professional life is surprisingly routine.
You have to like to work. I started to work with that willingness and fighting spirit. You also have to start working on something you like to do. You can't just do any job to say that you're working. That doesn't work. You're not going to be able to stand it. You have to look for a job that you like to do. And there, you won't even feel the time passing. That's what happened with me. I started working here, and I liked it. I worked my way up from point to point until I got to the position I'm in today.
Ortman says his secret to a long life and breaking the record is having a healthy lifestyle and staying away from junk food. He says he avoids sugar and salt as much as possible and tries to keep a diet that is healthy for the mind and soul. In order to stay sharp, Orthman says he does stretches and maintains physical activity.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Agriculture is no exception when it comes to adapting new technologies in the context of changing climate. Now, French farmers in the northwestern suburbs of Paris grow greens in any season using hydroponic farms. Residents of a housing estate have ditched the traditional way of farming to create jobs for their community. Hydroponic farming is a method of growing plants in water, not in soil. It may sound like it would be a complicated process, but it's actually quite straightforward. The system is made of plastic and uses a rich organic ecosystem. The workers use less water than usual and do not even need a teaspoon of soil. One of the employees describes how they turn barren land into a farm.
It used to be a garage where they stored cars, but since there were no more cars, we used it as a dormitory. We listened to music and watched football matches. We used to meet here to have a bit of privacy and breathe, to hide away for a while, but now that it's become a place of work, I'm happy because I'm working.
hydroponic farms can be used to grow products of all kinds in any region. In this one, farmers are planting all sorts of things, ranging from Peruvian mint to Vietnamese coriander. They hope that the system can be used to help local residents, especially those who need it the most. Magic returns to Belgium with a purple carpet of bluebells covering the undergrowth of Hallerbos woods near Brussels. Each spring, this beech forest turns into a bluebell spectacular, turning the area into a natural wonderland. Millions of these blooming flowers sprout up across the 550-hectare woods, filling the air with their sweet aroma. The short but enchanting blooming phase offers nature enthusiasts a one-of-a-kind experience.
It is an outstanding and magical place because whenever we come, there's an amazing atmosphere. The sunrise was truly beautiful this morning, and we know this offers the opportunity to take great photos and decorate our house. It is a great comfort during these tough times.
Visitors can stroll the winding paths and watch rabbits and deer wandering through the woods. The forest floor blooms for a period of 7 to 10 days. After this time, leaves begin to grow on the trees above them, blocking the sunlight from reaching the flowers. The phenomenon of bluebell forest is not uncommon in Europe, but the Hallerbos greenery is unique for the density and beauty of its blossoms. A huge pink moon has glowed over Chilean skies, mesmerizing stargazers and ordinary citizens alike. The full moon was completely visible over the capital, Santiago. The celestial phenomenon is called a pink moon as it appears in April and is named after an American plant, pink plot, that blooms in spring. The pink moon will shine during the weekend through early Monday and may be visible in most parts of the world. The phenomenon also marks the calendar for different religious festivities around the globe.
Sunny skies and spring temperatures made for the perfect setting for the 65th birthday of Fatu, the world's oldest gorilla living at Berlin Zoo. At this age, the Western Lowland gorilla is what Berlin Zoo calls almost something of a legend. Gorillas living in the wild have a life expectancy of about 40 years, and at 65, she has been the world's oldest living gorilla for a while. 65 is absolutely extraordinary, and that obviously needs to be celebrated in style.
They mainly get vegetables, and the sugar they receive at most is fruit sugar, and that's what she saw for today in the shape of raspberries and blueberries. They were the decoration on rice cake made of boiled rice, a thin layer of rice and some curd so it sticks together. The bottom was made of a lot of green stuff, then the lion and lettuce.
According to Berlin Zoo, Western Lowland gorillas are now an endangered species after their natural habitat was continuously decimated, and therefore fewer and fewer animals live in the tropical rainforest of Cameroon, the Central African Republic, Gabon, and the Republic of Congo. The World of Opera is opening its doors to the deaf community for the very first time. The Los Angeles Philharmonic Orchestra has teamed up with the Deaf West Theater to stage a production of Beethoven's only opera, Fidelio, at their home at the Walt Disney Hall. The chorus will be performed by the White Hands Choir, a group from Venezuela consisting of disabled children and young adults who sing as well as sign. The production pairs up a singer and a deaf actor to both inhabit the one role on stage. Having deaf actors perform alongside opera singers, however, has its challenges, not least of which is keeping up the rhythm of the music.
I think probably that there's a lot of tempo that I've been rehearsing.